a treatise of the covenant of grace, wherein the gradual breakings out of gospel grace from Adam to Christ are clearly discovered. By John Ball. Chapter 10. Of the covenant that God made with David. Note. Some references and citations were passed over for greater ease of listening. The listener is referred to the original to access them. This covenant of grace was further manifested to David, to whom the Lord doth most abundantly and familiarly make known the riches of his free grace and love. And is this, O Lord, the manner of men? 2 Samuel 7:19. Or as Junius readeth it, and that after the manner of men, O Lord God, that is, thou dealest familiarly with me, as a man dealeth with man. 1 Chronicles 17:17. And thou hast provided for me according to the manner of men concerning this excellency, O Lord God. Or, thou hast provided for me this excellency according to the manner of men. I see, for I provide for. For the Hebrews, when they have not compound verbs, do use simple in their stead. Piscator. Et asperexis me secundam rationem hominis humanam, quoad hanc excellentiam. English. According to the manner of high degree or great dignity. Septuagint. Cae epides me hos horasis anthropu, cae hupsosas me curie hotheos. The author of this covenant is the Lord God, the God of Israel, the God that hath bound himself in covenant unto Israel, who doth watch over them, walk in the midst among them, is their shield and buckler, and strong tower of defense. The rock of Israel, the everlasting rock, that is, the mighty, stable, and immutable foundation and defense of the faithful, who fly unto him and trust in him. So God is called the rock of their salvation. Deuteronomy 32:15, Psalm 95:1. Septuagint. Apa theou soteros autou. The rock of their strength. Psalm 62:7-8. Psalm 31:3. Isaiah 17:10. Septuagint. Hotheos tes boetheos mu. Psalm 71:3. Psalm 31:3. The rock of my heart. Psalm 72:26. Septuagint. The God of my heart. And besides him there is none other. Isaiah 44:8. A rock of refuge or affiance. Psalm 94:22. In the Septuagint, rock and redeemer are put together. Psalm 19:15. Rock and salvation. Psalm 62:7. This covenant was made in Christ, and Christ is more clearly manifested in this breaking forth of the covenant than in any of the former. As first, that he was God and man in one person, the son of David, who should come of his loins, and yet David's Lord. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Then, in respect of his humiliation and glorification, his sufferings and exaltation. Thou wilt not leave my soul in grave, nor suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made him for a little inferior to the angels, as concerning his sufferings. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Also, in respect of his offices, that he should be both king and priest, a king to rule and govern his elect, to bridle and subdue his enemies. I will declare the decree, the Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. I will set my king upon my holy hill of Sion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. a priest after the order of Melchizedek, confirmed by oath, anointed with the oil of gladness. The Lord hath sworn, and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. That is, above all Christians, who are thy fellows, consorts and partners in the anointing. To offer up himself once for all a sweet-smelling sacrifice unto the Father for the sins of his people. Sacrifice and burnt offering thou wouldst not have, but mine ear hast thou bored, or digged open. That is, thou hast made me obedient to thy voice. Or mine ear hast thou bored as thy servant for ever. The Septuagint, to make the sense plainer, say, but a body thou hast fitted to me or prepared me, meaning that his body was ordained and fitted to be a sacrifice for the sins of the world, when other legal sacrifices were refused as unprofitable. Lo, I come, or am come, into the world, to give myself a sacrifice for sin. In the volume or roll of thy book it is written of me that I should do thy will, by the which will we are sanctified, even by the offering of the body of Jesus once. In respect of his kingdom, power, glory, dignity, dominion, and rule or government. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. He shall have dominion from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the land. All kings shall worship him, all nations shall do him service. His seed shall be forever, and his throne as the sun before me. As the moon it shall be established forever, and as a faithful witness in heaven. His seed will I establish forever, that is, Christians born of God, which are called Christ's seed and children, as Christ is called the everlasting Father. Thou hast ascended up on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast taken gifts for men, that is, thou hast given and distributed gifts among men, which are the ministers of the gospel, given for the good of the church. This covenant the Lord made of his rich mercy and grace, which he confirmed by oath, my mercy I will not make frustrate from with him, nor deal falsely against my faithfulness. I will not profane my covenant, nor alter that which has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness, if I lie unto David. Once have I sworn, as God spake once, Psalm 62:11, that is, unchangeably. For an oath cannot be revoked. There is no danger of inconstancy. David himself was a type and did bear the person of Christ, and many things spoken of David were more properly fulfilled in Christ, the person typified, than in David. As, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They parted my garments among them, and for my coat they cast lots. They pierced my hands and my feet. He that ate at my table hath lift up his heel against me. The things promised in this covenant, particularly above those that were mentioned in the former breakings forth thereof, are, first, that God would be with him, whithersoever he went, and make his way prosperous, and cut off all his enemies from before his face, that he might make him a great name, like to the name of the great men upon earth. And thus the Lord delivered him from the hand of Saul and all his enemies, who did oppose him, that he should not reign. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. Know ye that the Lord hath wonderfully separated to himself the man that is godly. The Lord will hear when I call upon him. Second, that he would appoint a place for his people Israel, and plant it, that they might dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, nor be disquieted any more by wicked people, as in former times. And so God gave Israel rest from all their enemies round about, and settled them in peace and quietness by the hand of David. Third, that when the days of David were fulfilled, and he shall sleep with his fathers, he would set up his seed after him, which should proceed out of his body, and he should build an house or temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. I purpose, saith Solomon, to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne for thee, he shall build an house unto my name. And at the dedication of the temple, he maketh mention of this promise. The Lord said unto David my father, Whereas it was in thine heart to build an house unto my name, thou didst well that thou wast so minded. Nevertheless thou shalt not build the house, but thy son that shall come out of thy loins, he shall build the house unto the Lord. And the Lord hath made good the word which he spake. I have built thee an house to dwell in, an habitation for thee to abide in for ever. Fourth, he promiseth to be a father to David's seed, and take him for his son. He shall call upon me, Thou art my father, my God, the rock of my salvation, and I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth, that is, the prince and chief of the kings, the most glorious and famous of all kings. As Christ is called the first begotten of every creature, not that he was created before all other creatures, but because he is the Lord, prince and head of every creature, and hath dominion over all creatures, and so the heir of all things, as heir, is sometimes put for lord or owner, and pro hireda guerrera is pro domino guerrera. Hirades enim veteres pro dominis appellabant. Fifth, that his house should be established, and his kingdom for ever before the Lord, even his throne should be established for ever. His seed will I make to endure for ever, and his throne as the days of heaven. His seed shall endure for ever, and his throne shall be as the sun before me. He shall be established for evermore as the moon, as a faithful witness in the heaven. That is, his kingdom shall be perpetual and glorious. For although the moon waxeth and waneth, and seemeth sometimes to be gone, yet it is continually renewed, and so stable. Which is a fit resemblance of the church, which hath not always one face or appearance in the world, though it be perpetual. And though for the sins of the people and David's house the state of his kingdom and house decayed, yet God reserved still a root, till he had accomplished this promise in Christ. Sixth, that his house should be as the morning light, when the sun ariseth, the morning, I say, without clouds, and as the grass of the earth with clear shining after rain. That is, it shall shine with all light of glory and prosperity, and flourish, or be green perpetually, as the herbs and grass which is refreshed with seasonable rain and heat. These gracious and free promises God made to David and to his house, and to the whole kingdom of Israel, not for their righteousness, but of his manifold and great mercy. And as he promised them without consideration of their desert, so of his rich grace and love undeserved he made them good. For David's house was not such as it ought to be before God. They kept not promise and covenant, but the Lord was merciful and gracious. He did not forget his truth, nor suffer his mercies to fail. If their children forsake my law, and walk not in my judgments, If they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod, and their iniquity with strokes. But my loving kindness will I not take from him, neither will I falsify my truth. True it is, the Lord did correct the posterity of David for their sin with moderate correction, and for their profit, that they might be partakers of holiness. But even when it did not bud or come on according to that which seemed to be promised, the Lord was most faithful in his promises, for it was their sin that kept them down. And for this, saith the Lord to Solomon, I will afflict the house of David, but not forever. For the whole spiritual kingdom was restored in the Messiah. I will make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. That is, I will make the kingdom and power to increase. For David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a light in Jerusalem, and set up his son after him, and established Jerusalem. Yet the Lord would not destroy Judah, for David his servant's sake, as he had promised him, to give him a light, and to his children forever. Great deliverance giveth he unto his king, he is the magnifier of salvations unto his king, and showeth mercy unto his anointed, to David and to his seed forever. 7. That the priests should be clothed with salvation, and the saints with joyfulness. That is, the ministration of the priests should be profitable and saving to the people, which should be an ornament to them, as a garment of honor, and the people should sing cheerfully. The salvation of the person only is not here meant, but the conservation of the ministry. As if it should be said, I will cause that the ministry of the priests be safe, that it shall not be troubled with ungodly men, nor defiled with the filth of error, and that it shall be effectual in the minds of the godly, and many by the blessing of this ministry may obtain eternal happiness. It may also be applied to the private salvation of the priests, because they should be defended and protected from above, and adorned with blessings of all kind. Great and precious are the promises which God hath given to Israel in this covenant, as that God, by visible testimonies of his presence, would be pleased to dwell amongst them and not forsake them, that he would hear their prayers when they prayed before him towards his holy temple, that the church and polity of Israel should continue, that it should be effectual, and the people blessed with rest, peace, joy, and blessings of all sorts, spiritual and temporal. This covenant that God made with David is everlasting, that is unchangeable, because the gifts and calling of God is without repentance. His word shall be established forever in heaven. And though the course of the promise be interrupted for a time, it shall bud and spring and bring forth fruit. It is also a well-ordered covenant in all things, fitly marshaled, disposed or set forth as an army in comely order, orderly addressed, prepared, settled, furnished, directed, firm and sure. That is, the good things promised were all prepared and in readiness, and should be performed in comely order and fit season. But the ordering of this most desired and saving covenant was in the power and pleasure of God, both in respect of his house, the kingdom, and the whole church of Christ, who had faithfully promised and would effectually make good in his own time whatsoever he had spoken. And it is a sure covenant faithfully to be kept and observed, a covenant that God doth remember, taketh heed unto, and will make good for his mercy's sake. For the Lord is faithful and will not deny himself, though we be inconstant, unfaithful, and apt to start aside. The condition of this covenant is that they should walk in the ways of the Lord and keep his watch, take good heed to the charge of the Lord their God, and keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, to walk before the Lord in truth with all their souls. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers, that he forsake us not, nor leave us, that he may bow our hearts unto him, that we may walk in all his ways and keep his commandments and his statutes and his laws, which he commanded our fathers. Particularly, he that ruleth over men, that is, the Israelites, must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And thus it is observed of David that he fed Jacob and Israel according to the integrity of his heart, and guided or led them by the discretion of his hands, that is, with most prudent and discreet administration managed he them. This was that which David promised, "I will sing of mercy and judgment to thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will do wisely in the perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me?" The priests, they must justly and holily administer their office. Let the priests be clothed with righteousness. The prophet speaks not so much of the righteousness of their persons, but of their office. The first is a great ornament of the ministry, the other more necessary in respect of the body of the church, that they fulfill their ministry, teaching sound and incorrupt doctrine, exhorting, admonishing, comforting, sacrificing, and performing all other offices and services which the Lord commanded. The whole body of the people, they should walk in holiness, sing of the praises of God, and give up themselves unto God as an holy people, zealous of good works. As for the execution of this covenant, first, David did fight the wars of God, and the Lord was with him, and did prosper him, until his enemies were subdued, and the people had rest and peace from them that were round about them. Second, he prepared a place for the ark of the Lord at Jerusalem, and set it there. David prepared a place for the ark of the Lord, and pitched it for a tent. And he gathered all Israel together to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place which he had ordained for it. Remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore unto God and vowed a vow unto the mighty God of Jacob. Third, he set the courses of the priests in their offices, and the Levites in their watches, for to praise and minister before the priests every day, and the porters by their courses at every gate. The office of the Levites was under the hand of the son of Aaron, for the service of the house of the Lord in the courts and chambers, and in the purifying of holy things, and in the work of the service of the house of God, etc. So David and the captains of the army separated for the ministry the sons of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, who should sing prophecies with harps, with viols, and with cymbals. He appointed also divisions of porters of the chief men, having the charge among their brethren to serve in the house of the Lord. And of the Levites, Abijah was over the treasures of the house of God, and over the treasures of the dedicate things. And Shelomith and his brethren were over all the treasures of the dedicate things, which David the king and the chief fathers, the captains over thousands and hundreds, and the captains of the army had dedicated. Fourth, he made preparation for the house of God, exhorted the princes, and encouraged his son Solomon unto the work. I have prepared with all my power for the house of my God, gold for vessels of gold, and silver for them of silver, etc. Moreover, because I have delight in the house of my God, I have of mine own gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, beside all that I have prepared for the house of the sanctuary. And the princes of the families gave for the service of the house of God 5,000 talents of gold and 10,000 pieces, etc. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasurer of the house of the Lord. And the people rejoiced when they offered willingly, for they offered willingly unto the Lord with a fit heart. Fifth, God gave Solomon a large heart for wisdom and understanding to go in and out before the people. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there hath been none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall arise the like unto thee. Sixth, the Lord magnified Solomon in dignity, in the sight of all Israel, and gave him so glorious a kingdom as no king had before him in Israel. And the king gave silver and gold at Jerusalem as stones, and gave cedar trees as the wild fig trees that are abundantly in the plain. So King Solomon excelled all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. And all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom that God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present. And he reigned over all the kings from the river, even unto the land of the Philistines, and to the border of Egypt. Seventh, Solomon built the temple upon Mount Moriah, the place appointed and appropriated by the Lord, according to the pattern showed unto him by his father David. So Solomon began to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, in Mount Moriah, which had been declared unto David his father in the place that David prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Eighth, also he dedicated the house of God, blessed the people, praised God for his goodness, prayed unto the Lord that his eyes might be open towards this house day and night, even toward this place, whereof the Lord had said that he would put his name there, that he would hearken unto the prayer which his servants pray in that place. This prayer of Solomon the Lord answered first by signs of acceptation. For when he had made an end of praying, fire came down from heaven, and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house, so that the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and said to him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place for myself to be a house of sacrifice. And I have now chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, to do according unto all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I made the covenant with David thy father, saying, Thou shalt not want a man to be ruler in Israel. Hitherto things succeeded prosperously, the king going before, the people followed with joy and cheerfulness, and the blessing of God accompanied them. But when they turned aside and forsook the statutes and commandments which the Lord had set before them, and went and served other gods and worshipped them, then the Lord afflicted the house of David, and the house which he had sanctified for his name, he cast out of his sight, and made it a proverb and a common talk among all people, and an astonishment to every one that passed by. In this covenant, therefore, the internal efficacy and outward administration is to be distinguished. Or some things are absolutely promised, or if upon condition, so as God will make good the condition. Others are conditionally promised, so as they take not effect, because the condition was not made good. In the first sense, God promised a son to David, who should sit upon his throne and build an house unto the Lord God of Israel. He promised also to establish his throne forever, but that took not effect in Solomon, but in Christ, who came of the loins of David, and in whose hand the spiritual kingdom was established forevermore. I will establish thy seed forever, and I will build thy throne from generation to generation. If you seek for corporal succession in the stock of David, it failed together with a kingdom, but this eternity is to be found in Christ, who builded a kingdom that shall never fade, an heavenly and spiritual kingdom which shall not cease, before things that are in heaven do perish and vanish away, that is, never. Not earthly and corporal, which is subject to change and alteration. In this sense, David saith, this was all his salvation and all his desire, although he made it not to bud, that is, he rested in this alone, that God would effect and make good his promise. Not for their righteousness, for David's house was not such as it ought, kept not covenant with God, but for his great name's sake. In the second sense, many things were promised which never took effect, and yet God is faithful and true, because the condition was broken. To the spiritual house of David, so to speak, was promised pardon of sin, adoption, comfort, joy, and an heavenly inheritance. All this was made good, for God freely called them by his Spirit, and by his power kept them by faith unto salvation. Though the house of David lost the kingdom and government in Israel, yet God preserved his posterity until Christ came, in whom the throne of David was established forever, for this was absolutely promised. But the temporal glory of David's house and the peace of Israel was changed, because they changed the ordinances, neglected the charge, and break the commandments of God. If his sons forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they profane my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit his transgressions with the rod and his sin with scourges. If ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up out of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a common talk among all people. And this house which is most high shall be an astonishment to every one that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold on other gods, and have worshipped them, and served them, therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. David's heart was not perfect with the Lord in the matter of Uriah, and for that cause the sword of God never departed from his house. When Solomon waxed old and gave his heart to pleasure, his outlandish wives enticed him to idolatry. And the Lord rent 10 tribes from the house of David. In after times the house of David fell away more and more. The priests neglected the charge of God, and the people grew profane, obstinate, impenitent. And then the Lord abhorred his people, was wroth with his heritage, and gave his glory unto the enemy's hand. Jerusalem was laid waste and desolate, the temple burnt with fire, the princes led captive and made tributary, the aged were despised, the young men made slaves and bondmen, maidens deflowered, and children dashed against the walls. They were slain with the sword, burnt up with famine, languished through oppression, misery, and sorrow, had in contempt and derision daily, but there was none to pity or comfort them. Nevertheless, the promise of God was firm and sure to all the seed, in respect of the things absolutely promised, for the infidelity of man cannot make the faith of God of none effect. Hence we learn two things are to be considered in the covenant. One, the persons in covenant according to the external administration, or according to the effectual purpose and internal administration. Two, the good things promised, not only temporal but spiritual, for they are either such as are absolutely necessary to salvation, or such as concern the welfare of a Christian, his peace, joy, cheerful and constant walking with God without offense, and such like. To the first sort, the promises of the covenant are made sincerely, but conditionally. If they do well, they shall be accepted. If they consent and obey, they shall inherit the good things of the land. To the other, being effectually called, all other promises are made absolutely, or at least shall absolutely be made good, because God will give them to do what he requireth. Effectual calling is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. It is wrought freely, effectually, certainly, but when, where, and as the Lord will, not conditionally, nor according to promise to this or that person. God promiseth he will preserve his church and uphold the seed of David, but to this or that person God hath not promised that he shall be brought home or gathered to the flock. The covenant made presupposeth man called, and taking hold of the covenant, it doth not promise that he shall be effectually wrought upon, and powerfully drawn to lay hold upon the promise. Faith is the gift of God, which he giveth as he pleaseth, but to the believer he assureth all other necessary good things, with continuance in faith, according to his free covenant. Of good things spiritual there be two sorts, as was said, some absolutely necessary, as faith, repentance, pardon of sin, perseverance, eternal life, and these are all most certainly promised and assuredly conferred. And though justification and eternal life be conditional, promised unto and bestowed upon the unfeigned believer, yet may they be called absolute, because God giveth to the man in covenant everything necessary to salvation. Other things are good in themselves and profitable, as joy and cheerfulness of heart, deliverance from scandalous and reproachful evils, wounding conscience and grieving the spirit. And these are not promised, nor evermore bestowed upon the faithful. David may be an instance hereof. He was not preserved from sin-wasting conscience and staining the soul, but was recovered from the danger thereof. To repent of the sin and to be pardoned of free grace was necessary to salvation. God therefore vouchsafed this sure mercy unto him. To be kept from falling was not of that necessity. God therefore suffered him to fall, to cure pride of heart, make him know himself, and magnify the riches of his free grace in his recovery. This is evident from this, that in the covenant, as the Lord promised mercy, which he performed, so he threatened judgment and destruction against them that did disobey, if they persisted obstinate and would not return. And therefore, both in showing mercy and inflicting punishment, the Lord dealt according to promise. Sometimes when the house of David sinned, the Lord spared them. But then he gave them hearts to humble themselves, and so the judgment was prevented. Thus saith the Lord, ye have forsaken me, therefore have I also left you in the hands of Shishak. Then the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves and said, the Lord is just. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, they have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will send them deliverance shortly, and my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless they shall be his servants, so shall they know my service, and the service of the kings of the earth. And because he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, that he would not destroy him altogether. And also in Judah the things prospered. Sometimes the Lord poured his wrath upon Judah and Jerusalem, according as he threatened, but he let them go on in the stubbornness of their hearts, until they had filled up the measure of their iniquity, until there was no remedy. So he gave them into the enemy's hand, and suffered his name to be polluted amongst the heathen, when he had tried by all means to bring them home, but they would not repent. The kingdom of David was forever established, and God preserved a church and people unto himself, according to his good pleasure, for this was absolutely willed and foretold, but performed according to promise of free grace and love. Thus God is serious in all his promises and commandments, according as he is pleased to give them, and effectually brings to pass his own purpose of grace, according to that which he hath promised. With this promise they press the Lord in their captivity. Why dost thou forget us forever, and forsake us so long time? Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Turn us, O God, or restore us, to wit, from sorrow to joy, from captivity to liberty. Cause thy face to shine, that is, to be light, cheerful, comfortable, and we shall be saved. This audio recording was read by Michael Ives. I hope you found it enlightening and edifying. Visit westportexperiment.com, where I write about parish missions, the care of souls, and all things Reformed.